the worst moments of our life.
Hey, girl, hey, that's bad.
So speaking of, like, worst ever experiences.
That is the worst ever.
I don't feel so good.
And that was my worst audition ever.
How bad can it be?
And we feel the pain is best or funny.
Welcome to Worst Ever Podcast. I'm your host. What's my name, Christine?
I'm not going to say your name.
Why not?
That's because I'm not your second fiddle.
Yeah, you are my second fiddle. I'm the host, Alaa Khaled, and you're my second fiddle, Christine Lincoln.
No. Bro. It goes, bro.
Bro. It's spelled brolt.
Well, it's not pronounced brolt. I went from one name that no one can pronounce to another name no one will ever be able to pronounce.
If my phone goes off, I'm sorry. I'm waiting for the AT&T. Hold on. I'm waiting for, this is the second time I've had to reschedule the AT&T internet guy because I'm getting rid of Spectrum and bundle now with my DirecTV.
You got a bundle.
I love a bundle and my phone. So originally when I had them scheduled, Kelly Martin came in.
Correct.
And now I have them scheduled for today.
God.
So I've convinced my roommate because he works 5 minutes away. I'm like, they're going to give me a 30-minute notice. I'm going to be recording a podcast. Can you stop by the house and let him in and start it? And then when I'm done, I'll go rush over and have him finish.
Oh,
and
God.
I'm hoping he, because the window's 11 to 4.
That's a terrible window.
So I originally had it at 8 to whatever. Anyways, it's the second time and it's happening today.
Because you need your DirecTV.
Well, I have my DirecTV. I just need the cheaper internet.
Got it.
We're on a budget.
Got it.
Okay.
It's not going to be as good. I'm going to tell you that right now.
I don't care.
Okay.
I don't care. And second off, speaking of I don't cares, have you watched the reboot of BH90210?
I have not yet. I'm going to say that your review is coming shortly.
Listen, you're listening to this episode like a couple months into the show. So okay. I don't know if it's going to last or not, but I was so confused when I was watching it because they're all playing themselves.
Yeah.
And they have,
but like later on in their lives, obviously.
Yeah. They're
like
playing themselves now.
Okay.
And so the only reason I want to watch is because I want to see how they're going to like treat Shannon and the whole bit because
right.
They're being themselves as actors to
oh,
go be on 90210.
Oh.
Like they sell, like the first two episodes are them pitching BH90210.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's so weird. So it's a show within a show.
Got it.
So anyways, speaking of like old school actors, so we have a special guest today. He's a friend of mine. I actually got to know him in the past couple of years because I've been in Atlanta with him. You might remember him from Ugly Betty, which we love, Covert Affairs. I just found out he did a couple episodes of Once
Upon a Time.
Yeah.
As the Wizard of Oz.
Which is insane. And now he's on a lovely little Netflix show called Insatiable. Please welcome Chris Gorham.
Hi, guys.
Chris Gorham.
It's so weird sitting here pretending not to be here while you guys talk.
Yeah. No, I know.
it's pretty much the most awkward moment.
Yeah. But it gives you a sense of the tone of the podcast.
It
just
does.
The, you know, acrimonious relationship, the love-hate.
I don't even know what acrimonious means.
See, that's where we differ. Yep. I'm smart and he's not.
Right.
So, Chris, thank you so much for, first of all, coming to the house. Sorry, I was in the middle of a massive play date when you arrived.
It's fine. You've given me coffee, and now I'm very happy.
Okay, good. You have 3 kids, so you get it.
Yep.
But, you know, my kids are younger, a little bit younger than yours. And when they're off school, these breaks, guys, we pay for preschool, but then there's just these random 2-week breaks, and there's just really no rhyme or reason for them.
I don't get the whole break thing. Today's the first day of school, normally.
I know, which is also weird, because if you had a kid that was actually going to school, and then all of a sudden you have your other kid not going to school, you're like, what's happening? This is what I've been waiting all summer for. Go back to school.
And this is the private preschool thing that you pay a lot of money for.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
beyond. Which is, by the way, is basically every preschool.
Yeah, every
in most
preschool.
Most places is private.
That's right. That's why it's important to vote in 2020, guys. Because we want that.
That's
we want
right.
The schooling.
That's right.
Gorham is your real last name?
Yes.
Given. What is that?
Yeah. What is it?
Yeah. Where's it from?
It's from England.
Oh, you're English?
Yeah. I'm mostly English and German.
Did you do a 23andMe?
No, I didn't, but my mom did. And she's like desperate for me to do it and is incredibly frustrated that I won't do it.
Why won't you do it?
Because I find the whole thing creepy.
As do I.
I just find it creepy. Like, I just don't need like a private company having like all of my genetic information. I think it's weird.
Me too.
I have it and I haven't done it, and I've had it for over a year.
Yeah.
Well, it's probably gone bad by now.
Do they go bad?
No, I think it's just a Q-tip. I think you're good.
But the test strips must go bad at some point.
Does it?
I've just been holding on to it because I'm scared to do it.
I actually don't know what's in the box.
Why would you even need to? I think we're all pretty sure where you come from.
I know, but
you have so many people in your family.
Well, I had a friend, okay, who found out through one of these tests that her father wasn't really her father.
How does that happen?
Because her and her sister, who she thought was her sister, did it.
Yeah.
And they came up with two separate things.
Yeah.
And then it shows who you might be connected to. And there was a woman that she knows because her father is her real father, mm-hmm. biological father, is his. She's his sister. Thanks.
Anyone's
so then, so it was devastating. And then the mom copped to it, saying yes.
Hold on.
See,
so the sister she thought was her sister
conflict.
Is only her half sister.
But because the mothers are different?
No, because the fathers are different.
Oh, okay. All right. I was not following that logic. Yeah.
It's so simple, Christine.
It's really.
Who's not educated here? wait a minute.
The tables have turned.
So wait, you did Ugly Betty the first.
I did the first two seasons. I came on to Ugly Betty in episode, I think it was episode 4.
Playing
Henry Grubstick, who became Betty's boyfriend.
This might be AT&T.
Hold on. Oh, this is so exciting.
Hold on.
Put it on a speaker.
Okay. Yeah. What's a page? Oh, no. Okay.
No, it's not.
It's a page.
Is it them?
No, it's not them. Sorry, it's Grubhub.
Did you audition for the role?
Kind of. It's actually an interesting story. So Silvia Orta, who created Ugly Betty, called me the year before this show. I was the star of his show. It was this superhero show on UPN called Jake 2.0.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
UPN, that's bringing it back.
Right? Like, remember when that was a thing?
Yeah.
For kids, sure. You don't remember, but it used to be a thing. UPN and WB combined at some point to become what is now the CW.
CW, yeah.
So we did this show on UPN, and then he went, and it was canceled, and then he went on to do Ugly Betty, and he calls me one day and says, hey, would you consider playing this part for me? Like, we're having a hard time finding somebody. It's this nerdy accountant. It's potential love interest for America. Great. Yeah, sure. Send me the stuff. Happy to, whatever. Then he calls back, I think later that day, and said, so would you mind coming in and reading with America? It's not an audition. It's definitely not an audition.
Oh, God.
And it's but we're
either going to cast you or not cast you based on this audition.
It's our other producer doesn't know you. And like, he's, you know, so would you mind? It's not an audition. I was like, so sure, fine, whatever you need, no big deal. And so I went in and read with, like, they pulled America, came straight off of set and sat down and we read together and then it was fine. And
she's nice, yeah?
Super nice. Yeah, we're still friends.
Yeah. That's Have you done Superstore or no?
No. So maybe we're not as good friends.
Yeah, because I love that
show. I'm just kidding. We're great. We're good friends.
And so then you went on how many seasons?
So I became a series regular. I was with it for the first 2 years.
And how was that experience?
Great.
Fun.
Great. Yeah, you know, it's weird.
I really liked that show a lot.
Yeah, it was great. It was a really nice group of people. We're still friends with a good group of them, which is kind of unusual, actually.
I did a play with Anna Ortiz.
Yeah. Yeah, so you know, she's awesome.
She's amazing.
But it's always, it's funny coming into a show because I wasn't there for the pilot. So that they, you know, the family had kind of already formed by the time I joined. But I'd been around for a while before that. So it didn't bother me. And, you know, and we all became friends.
And were you shirtless a lot on the show? Because you're always shirtless for some reason.
Well, let me tell you, it kind of started with Ugly Betty. Because they wrote a scene where they were fitting an underwear model, and Betty like blinks her eyes and then fantasizes that it's me, that I'm the underwear model. So they gave me like a heads up. They were like, listen, we're going to do this thing where it's like, you're the underwear model. So you know, if I don't know if you want to, I don't know what kind of shape you're in, but this is happening.
That's nice they gave you a heads up.
They did. Well, it was like 2 weeks. Like, what was I going to do in 2 weeks? Well, it was something anyway,
eat
right?
A lot of sweet potatoes and stop eating.
But I was
else.
In good shape, so it was fine. And, and I did it. And literally the next day I had like writers coming over and was like, is that you? Like, we just saw the dailies. Is that you? Did they put your head on someone's body? Like, it was it was both flattering and incredibly insulting at the same time.
Wait, it's just nobody. We just didn't, I mean, it's great, but I mean, under there, I just was never fantasizing about that, but now I'm fantasizing about that.
Well, I can see it because in clothes, like, you're just, I mean, no offense, but you look like a tall, lanky kind of guy. You're not, you know what I mean? Like myself. F off, Christine.
Someone's still hoarding nuts for the winter. It's the dead of summer.
I mean, you're ripped, dude.
Yeah. And so it was a thing. And then since that, what's been happening is then, like, on the next show, then, like, well, for instance, for Insatiable is a perfect example. So I get cast in Insatiable. I get the pilot, you know, we had the pilot script before we read for it. So I saw the pilot. My character, Bob Barnard, was not shirtless in the pilot.
Oh, God.
Cut to, I land in Atlanta. Apparently, like, Lauren Gusses has had time to Google me since casting me. I land in Atlanta. New pages come out. Bob Barnard is now shirtless in the pilot and then found out, oh, yeah, we're going to make him shirtless in every episode in the first season. That kind of became his joke.
Yeah, and, like, in his trailer, no joke, is, like, you have equipment in there for just staying fit.
Yeah, in season two, yeah. In
so
season
do
two.
You feel now? Because this is interesting. Because as women in the business,
go ahead.
There's always this certain pressure for a lot of women. They feel like, you know, if they're being fit in certain costumes, they have to be thin, they have to be fit, blah blah blah. But I think it actually applies to men more often than people realize.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're writing you shirtless in all these episodes, you're a pretty fit person anyway, but do you feel that need? You're like, oh, okay, well, I'm not going to have that cake on Friday because I know I'm going to be shirtless Monday. Oh,
yeah. He's obsessed.
Yeah. I have to be.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not in my 20s anymore.
No, I get it, dude. You know, it's same with me. That's how I am.
You know what I'm talking about.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, you have to be diligent and you have to, you have to be really consistent. You have to exercise regularly and you have to watch what you eat.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get really, and you can get really crazy about it, which I don't anymore, but.
Anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
What did you used to do?
Well, I used to just completely cut out carbs and completely cut out sugar and, like, try to dehydrate myself the day of, and it's just miserable and I'd get headaches and I just felt like it just wasn't making that big of a difference.
Yeah.
And then in season one of Insatiable, I don't know, we were in episode 2 or 3, it was early on. But I had been just killing myself. And I showed up to work one day and ran into Dallas Roberts, who plays the other Bob on the show. And he was like, hey, how's it going? And I said, you know what? I feel terrible. Like, I really am not feeling well. I don't know what the problem is. Like, I'm not sick, but I just feel terrible. And he goes, well, what have you been eating? And I started making a list in my head and it was like, oh, right. Not enough. I have not been eating enough.
Yes.
Right. I need to eat more food. That's the problem.
Water.
Yeah. And that was it. And so, you know, and since then I've been much more reasonable about it.
Yeah.
Hence the equipment in his trailer.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Was it like a pull-up thing?
Yeah. It was like a pull-up dip station.
Yeah. I mean, everyone has to have one of those.
It's great. It was great. Me and Michael Provost would use it. Yeah.
You know, people write these scenes and then they just expect you to be like whipping off your shirt and in perfect physical shape. But like if you're working 12 hours a day, like, are you getting up at 5 to go work out? I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah. It's an impossible like standard for real life.
Right.
Like there's a reason that like normal people don't look like that because it takes a lot of time and one of the reasons I can do it is because we shoot in Atlanta.
Right.
It's so much harder for me to maintain that when I'm at home with my wife and kids.
Yeah.
Right.
That
right?
was the other thing I was going to say.
Yeah.
I find it really admirable. I mean, I don't know how anyone with children, at least for a decade, has any time to do anything.
Yeah. No.
For their health.
Shooting out of town is basically.
Yeah.
And your family's okay with you leaving? I mean, because I know it's hard for a lot of people.
It's horrible.
It's weird because the whole cast is pretty much, except for Dallas.
Yeah.
In L.A.,
yeah.
So everyone just does a company move to Atlanta and, you know, and people like Alyssa has family and, you know, so, and you have teenage kids too. Yeah, yeah. So it's hard, you know, especially on your wife, I'm sure.
It's really, really hard. And we've been doing it for 20 years now and it doesn't get easier. Like it just doesn't.
Did they come out to visit at all?
If they can. This year they were able to for spring break.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Like it was easier when the kids were babies because before they got into school, we could just take them with us and we could go and be together. But once they started school, you know, if the shoot season was during the school year, you know, you can't really go. And you never know how long a show is going to last. And, you know, it's it's the glamorous Hollywood elite lifestyle, you know.
I want to go back to the working out just for a second.
Okay.
Just because I have an anecdote.
Yeah.
So I think about what I was just saying about men and like the physique and having a pressure set upon them. If you're a guy who's like known for being big or bulkier, like, so for instance, who I'm talking about, The Rock, Dwayne Johnson.
Right.
So what I find so fascinating about him is I did a movie with him, one of the nicest guys in Hollywood, P.S.
Mm-hmm. He better be. He was a wrestler.
I know.
But okay. No, but I've heard that. Isn't it? Yeah.
No, I'm just hoping he is because, I mean, that is not – he's the highest paid actor in the business right now.
It's,
Well, he's fun to watch.
And he's also – oh, God, is it AT&T?
Hold on.
I'm going to stop my story about The Rock for AT&T.
Hello?
This is ridiculous.
Yeah. Put it on speaker.
It really should be on speaker.
Respect on this podcast. You understand.
Can I call you back because I'm in the middle of a podcast?
Oh my God, it's not even 18.
I thought you were calling about the Wi-Fi. Okay, no. Okay, I'll call you back. Bye.
Was that your roommate?
Yeah, because I thought maybe he's like heard from them before I did.
Was he just wanted to chat?
He's got, it's a job interview thing. Go ahead.
Okay.
What about The Rock?
Okay, so anyway, but when you're that big, he's like, I'm talking about physically, just a muscly big guy. It takes a lot of obviously working out to do.
Yeah.
And eating.
The amount that a guy that big has to eat to stay that big is obscene.
So he wakes up and he says this on his Instagram and stuff too, which I watch his Instagram. I find it fascinating. But he gets up sometimes at 3:30 in the morning to go and work out for 90 minutes, chains around his neck, like doing crazy things, you know, whatever that is, gets to set at 6 or whatever the call time is. And then he literally has a dude, I think it was a part trainer, part, you know, assistant, who would come around with these large Tupperwares just full of meat.
Full
of shaved meats.
Delicious.
Like lunch meat. Chicken breasts, whatever it is. And it would be, oh God, his mouth's watering.
I'm sorry. I love it.
It would be like, I'm not kidding, once an hour. And he would be sitting down like behind the monitors and he'd be having a chat. And then someone just put a bowl of meat and he'd be just eating this meat. But that's what you have to do, I think, if you're The Rock.
Yeah, to look like that, is what you have to do. That's why most people don't look like that, because most people can't do that.
Well, they don't have assistants bringing
them. Have you had any auditions where you've had to take off your shirt?
Yes.
And I
find that offensive.
Well, I had to do it. I had to show my butt crack in an audition once.
Really?
I know.
Yes.
That's like, also offensive.
Just for the aesthetics of it?
I'm not taking off my shirt. Why should you have to?
It was a Super Bowl Bud Light commercial.
Yeah.
And in the commercial, the guy, the bartender, opens the Bud bottle with his ass crack.
I don't think this ever aired.
It did air. I saw the commercial, but they didn't show that. But so they literally, and I thought they were joking because my agents didn't say anything about this.
Of course not.
And so, you know, back in the day, they used to do like at the callback, the lineup of like the guys. They're like, okay. And then guys like, can you turn around and just pull your pants down slightly? I was like, I started laughing. I go, is this for real? He's like, yeah. And I go, what are you talking about? I'm like, what? And he's like, we need to see your ass crack.
Oh my God.
And I go, well, I have a hairy ass crack, but okay.
Like, right, but how hairy? Like we need to
know. No, it's hairy. I'm Middle Eastern, dude.
That's amazing. I don't need to see it.
No, you're not going to. Sometimes because I wear the low rise jeans.
Sometimes it peeks out on accident.
Yeah, it does. My friends are always like,
that's okay. It happens.
Yeah. So you had to take it off for an audition?
Yeah.
Did you book the job?
No. No. But that's the thing. Like most of the time you don't. Like most of the time you don't book the job.
Right.
When you audition for anything.
No,
you
know? Exactly.
Like it's like as my kids have gotten older and have some awareness of what I do, like, you know, they'll ask, like, oh, what are you auditioning for? And I'm like, it doesn't matter. I'll tell you when it happens. Matters.
That's a good way of thinking about it.
Yeah. Because
actors put so much pressure on themselves.
I know.
Like I just try to, you know, and this has come only just recently. Like, I just try to enjoy the process of whatever the thing is.
Yes.
And then let that be it. And if it goes further, great.
I swear, the ones I feel, like, so good about, I never hear from again. I just had one last week that I was like, I fucking nailed that.
Yeah.
I nailed that. And then I never heard anything.
So yeah, but you've let that go too now because when she's starting to direct.
Yeah.
So now
so you see.
Yeah, so she's like, I don't.
Yeah, so you know, like it's.
But I also know that I look at it from a different perspective. I actually, in the past, I would have been like, I just don't understand. Like, it was so good. And I felt great. And they were all, the casting directors were all, excited. Like, what happened? Now I know what happened.
Yeah.
They saw me. Some producer probably went, oh, good. Yeah, we're not looking for that type.
Exactly.
And literally just,
it's like oh, no,
on.
We need someone 5'6", but you were amazing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that she doesn't look old enough. No, we want a brunette. But, I mean, it doesn't matter. And then there's the ones where I'm like, oh, that didn't go well. And then I book them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? I got it? Okay. Are you sure?
That's what I felt like my very first TV show. Every time I went, I was like, I don't know why they keep calling me back. This doesn't make any sense to me.
Which show was it?
It was Popular. It was Ryan Murphy's show.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. You did Popular too. Jesus, you worked a lot. You're like the guy who always works, but no one knows.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really? Which is a compliment.
Let me tell you, it's kind of great.
That's great.
Yeah.
Because if he gets pigeonholed in like some character, he's fucked.
I've been able to do a ton of different things and work consistently, and I can still go to the grocery store.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's pretty great. Nice.
Popular. But, how long was that?
Well, it was 99 and 2000. But I was like 25 auditioning to play a high school kid. And I was just like, oh, this is never going to work. Like every time I went in, I was like, this is ridiculous. I don't know why they keep calling me back. I'm way too old to do this. And then
you got it.
There we go. There it was. Yeah.
How was Ryan Murphy?
Great.
He's amazing.
Yeah. I know. I really want to get into his director's program.
Yes.
Oh, he has a program?
Yeah.
Debbie Ryan did it last year.
She did?
This year. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You should definitely do
that. Are you directing yet?
I've directed 3 episodes of Covert and then I did a film.
Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
She's doing Goldberg's in Schooled.
Great.
You should cast him as a teacher at Schooled.
Oh, yeah.
Shirtless.
A shirtless teacher.
Shirtless swim coach. Woodshop teacher.
It happens. It happens.
Swim coach.
That's great. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, directing is good. Yeah, you like
it's
it.
It's the best, man.
I mean, Insatiable, I was making fun of him the whole last season because he was shadowing.
Oh, yeah.
And that show is like...
I'm waiting to hear what you're going to say, actually.
Well, I'm not going to say anything bad, obviously. But no, they're long hours.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And so fact that you're acting in the show and you're like hanging out afterwards to like shadow, I was like, what is he, crazy?
No, but I like being on set. Like that's the thing. Like I'd like it. And since I'm in Atlanta by myself, like what else am I going to go do?
No, you could go have drinks. Go to the gym,
that's it. I can't go get drinks. All I'm allowed to do is go to the gym
Home. Sarah Colonna.
I'd rather stay.
Every afternoon we had cocktail hour.
At the Lowe's.
At the Lowe's.
I was wearing his muumuu. Are all the directors on Insatiable mostly from Atlanta or do some come from LA? They're all LA.
I think none from Atlanta.
No.
Everyone's from LA or New York.
I don't even know any directors that live. Yeah. Maybe there are directors that
I'm sure
live in Atlanta.
There are.
Yeah.
Oh, now.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Take it easy.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
No, but they had really good directors.
Yeah, great.
Yeah. The show's really going to be,
it's crazy.
It's going to be a crazy season.
It's really
season.
Crazy fun. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a really good season.
Yeah. Like it's, we lean in. Like,
Lauren is no joke. Yeah. She does not give 2 F's about, she's like, we're doing it. You play Bob Barnard.
Correct.
You auditioned for the pilot or?
Yeah. I auditioned for Bob Armstrong first.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I think everybody did.
Okay.
Yeah. Like all us guys in a certain age range auditioned for Dallas's part. And then I came back and read, like the next week, and read for Barnard.
Did you recognize, did you in the waiting room?
Yeah.
Any other actors that were there that are recognizable? That
At the test, Eddie McClintock was there.
Oh.
Who's a great guy. But he was the only one that I recognized, or the only one that I knew anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you read with, who'd you read with? When you test.
No, just a reader.
Just
a
reader?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And are there any roles that you've auditioned for that you wanted or that went out that you've turned down that became big?
I've turned down, there's a couple things. I turned, not an offer, but I turned down the audition for American Pie way back in the day.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I just, you didn't straight like the out script.
Passed. I thought it was gross and I didn't get it at all.
That probably could have been
A lot of people, actually.
Well, not only that, but it might have been a good move because a lot of those people aren't working.
I mean, maybe, but, you know, who knows?
Things go in waves. There was a whole fad of, like, sort of sexual, gross-out teen comedies.
It just wasn't my thing.
Yeah.
And then there was a Miramax movie. You know, remember they were doing the Shakespeare adaptations a while back? Like, they did O. And, well, like, I made it deep into the rounds for O. And then Tim Blake Nelson was directing that movie and sat me down and was like, listen, I need you to be honest with me. Because everyone always lies when we ask, can you do X? What can you ride a horse? Can you do it? He was like, can you play basketball? And I was like, well, yeah, I can play basketball. He's like, but are you good at basketball? Like, you can make 3-point shots, really. And like, I regret telling him the truth. Like, I told him the truth.
Well, what'd you say?
Well, no? I said I can play. I said, yeah, I can make some shots, but if you're asking me if I can hit 9 out of 10, like, no, I'm not. No, I can't. Like, I haven't played competitively in a long time. But I don't
understand that, though, because can't they? I mean, basketball. No, I know it was a lot of basketball movie, but.
Like, I get it. Like, having directed now, like, I get why he asked it. Like, I'm sure he appreciated me telling him the truth. But, you know.
That was dumb, Chris.
I know.
Because you could have done it. You're so obsessive anyways. And I mean, in a good way, that you would have, after that, you'd been like, I got to go every day.
Well, that's what I told him. I was like, look, if I get the part, like, believe me, I'll be training 26 hours a day to get ready. But
did you play college sports?
No.
High school sports?
High school. I played water polo in high school.
Oh.
And then I got too busy doing
it. You grew up in California?
Yeah. Yeah, in Fresno.
Oh.
Yeah. What's that?
Oh, I love Fresno. What does that mean? I've actually been to Fresno because I have a cousin that lives in Visalia. So I stayed in Fresno.
To visit in Visalia?
Well, because like I didn't know. I need to, like, I saw, when I saw Visalia and I was like, well, what's there? Because I was going to a family event and I was like, what? I'm not staying. It was nothing but cornfields and stuff. So I was like, what's the nearest city? And so it was 30 minutes away is Fresno. So I was like, I'll just stay in Fresno, you know?
Right.
He needs like a hotel bar.
No.
Like a lobby bar.
Yeah, I need like things to do like once like I'm done with, you know.
No.
And so I know. I stayed at the airport hotel. By the way, so I was scared and like
you were scared in Fresno.
Yeah, no offense, and I'm sure you.
When were you there?
I haven't been since. This is like probably like 8 years ago.
Yeah. Well, by the way, like Fresno's not a place that most people go.
No, it's
just
like
for like a vacation, right? I mean, it's a place.
Well, I didn't go for vacation.
I've definitely driven through it.
Yeah, like you drive through it on your way to Yosemite.
Yeah,
is why most people go through Fresno.
I don't. So I mean, it reminded me like of a bigger Bakersfield.
Well, it's much bigger.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and it's nicer.
And any listeners that are from Fresno, please don't email me. I get it. I like the Fresno. It's like the armpit
of California. Central Valley. If anything, it's the belly button because it's in the middle.
Okay. It gets like hot and smoggy there, too.
I guess,
like,
it does.
Yeah, it's very industrial.
Well, it's very agricultural.
Okay, well, you call it agriculture. I call it industrial.
Industrial.
Well,
it's the agricultural industry, but the problem with the smog really is from the Bay Area. It comes over the mountain and then it sits in the valley.
Yeah, blame another city. I get it.
It's true.
What did your parents do in Fresno?
My mom was a nurse and then became a school nurse, and then my dad was an accountant.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
How do you get into acting?
Go figure, right? I have no idea. Like, I just started in school. I started doing school plays and things, and then they have a performing arts magnet school called Roosevelt School of the Arts in Fresno. So I ended up going there for high school and doing plays and PA singers, and we had some talented people. Audra McDonald came through there.
I love Audra McDonald.
Yeah.
She's from Fresno.
Fellow Roosevelt Rough Rider.
She's amazing.
Yeah, she is amazing.
You in class with her?
I wasn't. She was she was 4 years ahead of me. Okay. But we did like dinner theater together. Like I was in the junior company pre-show and she was doing
too?
Evita. Yeah.
I didn't know. How come they don't have you singing on the show?
Well, because we don't have singing on the show.
They're too busy finding ways for me to take a shirt off.
That's right. I don't have time to work out my voice.
I could see a whole cabaret number with Bob Barnard.
Right? Oh, God. That'd be great.
Amazing.
It'd be so much fun.
Okay, so Audra went there. I love her.
Yeah, Audra Sharon Leal went there. She's on Instinct right now.
Yeah.
Okay. She's been working for a ton of stuff. There's been a lot of really talented people go through there.
And then did you go to college?
Yeah, at UCLA.
Oh, you went to UCLA?
Yeah, that's where my wife and I met. Yay! Ah. Go Bruins.
Go Bruins.
We're going to do the A clap now. We're not.
No, don't worry.
You study theater there?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then...
What did you major in there?
Communications.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Smart.
Well.
How was it? It was tougher than my major. Communications is
legit. My parents
legit.
Were like, you're already in an acting class.
Yeah.
You've been in an acting class for a long time.
You were on a hit show, too, for years. Like, what are you going to take?
Well, and I was also like, what if I never work again? I should get my degree in something.
Mm-hmm. Smart. It's smart.
I don't know what communications gets you in this life.
A podcast.
You could be a journalist. Yeah, exactly.
This fucking podcast. I get no respect and I don't even get billing.
Yeah. you get a podcast. That's what you got.
No, but that's smart. I tell people, like young kids who ask me who are going to college, I was like, especially if you're going to college in LA or New York, you really don't have to major in theater. All the teachers teach privately.
Yeah.
Like learn something else. It's fine.
I always tell kids, I was like, dude, don't do it unless you know it's the only thing you ever want to do.
Yeah.
Don't.
And even so, like really the best actors that I've known my entire life are always some of the smartest people. So just go and learn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then you got an agent out of UCLA or you had one?
No,
already?
I did. Yeah. We out of the showcase.
At UCLA?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, that is what can be helpful for sure.
Yeah.
Getting your foot in the door and that getting representation. Was your wife also a theater major?
She was, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You met her at college?
We met like my last year. We didn't meet until my senior year. She was a year behind.
And then you got married how shortly after?
A few years later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And your first job was popular?
That was my first series regular job. My very first acting job was a Danny Boyle movie called A Life Less Ordinary.
I know that movie. Wow. Really? Danny Boyle.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It was like I had one scene as Walt, the gas station attendant. I worked with
such a good director.
Cameron Diaz and Ewan McGregor. And it was the really cool thing about it was the very first day of production on that film. And my scene was the first scene up.
Oh, wow.
So like Danny Boyle called me at the hotel the night before to see if I was all right, if everything was cool. I was like, everything's fine. Thank you, Mr. Boyle.
That's so weird.
And then production called and they're like, hey, we're wondering if you would mind sharing a van with Ewan out to set tomorrow. And I was like, no, that'd be fine. Thank you.
Stop it.
And then they picked me up first in the morning. And so I got in the back.
Where'd you shoot?
In Salt Lake City, Utah.
You love the Utah.
Go figure. Right? Like my acting career literally started in Utah.
And it's iconic. And it like, you're a star in Utah.
Yeah.
Like, in the Mormon, you have no idea. What's the movie called?
So, I did this movie. It was in between season one and two of Popular. It was called The Other Side of Heaven. It's about this. It's based on this guy, Elder John Groberg's memoir of his mission to Tonga in the 50s. And so we shot this, like, it was like this $7 million independent film that we shot in the Cook Islands on Rarotonga and in Auckland, New Zealand. And
what?
It was me and Anne Hathaway.
What?
Right? I know.
That's amazing.
Know. Yeah.
Was this post Princess Diaries? This is pre-Princess Diaries?
So get this. So before, she auditioned for Princess Diaries right before she flew out to do our movie and then found out that she booked it while she was with us in Auckland.
Wow.
And so then we wrapped the movie. I went back to Popular, which was shooting on the Disney lot in Burbank. And then she was shooting Princess Diaries also on the Disney lot in Burbank.
Funny.
So yeah, it was crazy.
So would you see her every now and then?
Yeah, so we'd run into each other on the lot. But Princess Diaries came out first. So then Disney, because Anne became this big star, Disney then bought the DVD rights to The Other Side of Heaven, which then made sure that movie made it around the entire world. And it's particularly with LDS families, like they've watched it like every Sunday for like years and years and years.
Because it is a Mormon based.
Yeah, and it was kind of the first faith film of the modern era.
Wow. Was it DVD only?
No, it was in theaters. Yeah. It was in theaters and then on DVD.
Were the producers also Mormon, I'm assuming?
Like the main producer, but not like from the church. Like Gerald Molin was the executive producer on that movie and he's Steven Spielberg's producer.
My goodness.
So they shot a sequel last year?
Yeah, we just shot a sequel. Yeah, it just came out this year. Yeah, we shot it last year.
Oh my gosh. Did you go back to the Cook Islands?
We shot it in Fiji.
Unbelievable.
I know. I'm like,
what an amazing job.
Yeah.
But you can't go into Salt Lake City.
Well, I can go into Salt Lake. They're very nice to me.
No, I know that you can, but like you're a star there.
But like I
do like a really polite hounding.
I'm recognizable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when does that movie come out?
It's out.
It's out now.
Yeah, yeah. It was out. It opened in like 200 theaters nationwide, and then it's still playing in theaters in Utah, at least as of today. It's been in theaters for about 8 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Is it, yeah. Is it take you, it takes you 10 years later?
So it's 10 years after the first one. Mm-hmm.
And it's, what is it? Is it called The Other Side of Heaven 2?
It's called The Other Side of Heaven 2, Fire of Faith. It's based off John Groberg's second book.
Wow.
Who's the co-star?
Yeah, so it's a New Zealand actress named Natalie Medlock.
Cool. She's going to be huge now in
Utah.
She's lovely.
Yeah.
Huge. Yeah. So what was shooting in Rarotonga like? Because it's pretty desolate
Well,
there.
It's so funny. No, it's not. You'd think. That's what we thought.
Yeah.
And back in like 99, 2000.
I remember my girlfriend went there and she was like, it was awful. We had to go to Rarotonga. My boyfriend wanted to go there. I just never want to go to Rarotonga again. I was like, God, it sounds terrible.
Well, like, here's the thing. It is kind of like 50 years behind Hawaii development-wise.
Okay.
Like, on purpose. And like, that's kind of what I love about it. Because having been to little islands like Fiji included in places, what you often find is an island that's ringed by really fancy resorts, but all of the locals living in shacks and in total poverty.
Yes. Right.
So Raro has avoided that really because foreigners can't purchase any land. Like the land for the whole island is divvied up amongst the families that live there, kind of like a pie. So each family has a slice from the center all the way out to the beach.
Wow.
And they divvy it up amongst themselves.
So
and
there's no Sheraton?
So there's no Sheraton. There are resorts.
You would hate it.
No, there are resorts. Like there's beautiful places that you can stay, but there are no big high rises.
Like all family-owned businesses.
Kind of.
That's neat. I think I would like it.
It's kind of great. Like but it's quiet. Like there's no like fancy nightclubs. Like there is a nightclub, but it's not fancy. Like, so if that's what you're looking for,
I
this is
have
not
to be
the
fancy.
Place for
I just
it.
Need to be able to like get cocktails every once in a while. When
yeah,
I want
well,
to.
You totally can.
Yeah,
But it's
and not out of coconuts. Like I want
it's quiet.
Like,
yeah,
glassware.
Yeah.
What do you fly into?
They have an airport. Yeah, there's a direct flight from LA once a week.
Oh wow!
To once Tonga?
To Rarotonga.
Rarotonga.
Yeah.
Say it again, Christine.
Rarotonga.
Yeah.
Okay. Rarotonga. Or like my friend Alex says, Rarotonga.
Yeah. We love
By the
it.
Way. I've decided that I'm going to start speaking in an English accent, but only when I want to say something that's like, I want it to sound nice and polite, even if it's not. I think it's sort of a nice thing to do.
You're an idiot.
No, you're actually an idiot.
Oh, see, that's the example. It did sound nice.
I sound really intelligent.
Yeah.
And just like, I think you should just calm down. I've decided that's going to be my new thing. That's my new thing. Wait, hold on.
Yeah.
I want to go back.
To his shirt coming off?
No. Oh, no. Not to the beginning.
Not that far back.
We need to go back to Danny Boyle. We need to finish that story.
Oh, sorry.
And you're in the van and Ewan McGregor's going to get in.
So then, I get in the
van. Your first job ever.
My first job. That's like, this is what got me my SAG card.
This is unbelievable.
So I sit in the back of the van and we drive around to, he's at a different hotel.
Is he, first of all, let's go back further. Is he at your audition?
No.
The Boyle.
Well, yes. You know what? Yes. Danny Boyle. He's at the callback.
Okay.
He is there.
And what's the, like the scene? Is it one scene?
It's like, one scene. It's literally like a monologue. Like, hey, I'm Walt. This is the gas station. You want to fill up? You got the whole thing. Like he's got this really cute little monologue. I don't remember it.
Oh, anymore. Great.
And
so it was significant. There was some significant dialogue.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. It's like a whole little speech. Like he's this adorable, goofy gas station attendant out in the middle of nowhere. We go to pick up Ewan. We pull up to his hotel.
Because he's at a nicer hotel.
He's at a nicer hotel for sure. Like, I'm at the Hilton, which is just nice.
Everyone
fine.
Loves it. I got the points.
I don't know. No, you know what? It wasn't that he was at a nicer. He was at a place because I think his wife and kids were there. So he was at a place that I think had a kitchen and
got
that
it.
Whole deal. Because Cameron was staying in the same hotel, I believe.
Okay.
Anyway, we get him. And I'd saved the front seat for him, figuring he'd want to sit in the front. But he jumped in the back right next to me. And then we just talked the whole way out. It was like an hour drive out to set, and he couldn't have been nicer.
That's nice.
Like, it was so great. It was so great. And it like really like set such a good example for me. It was like, all right, file this away of this is how you treat people when you're at the top
you're
of the call
star.
Sheet and you get people coming in for like one scene.
And you worked what, one day?
Half a day. I worked until lunch.
And then they flew you back out?
And that was it. And I went home.
It was just the scene with him, not with Cameron as well.
It was him and Cameron.
Oh, it was
so
both.
So they drive up, and then I talk to them and about filling up their.
She's retired now, right?
Didn't supposedly, I think she's. Yeah, I think she said she doesn't want to act anymore, or at least for now.
I don't blame her. Why bother? She
got all that money. when you get that big too, I think the thing that is very difficult for stars, is that you are under such scrutiny. And because you've had so much success, God forbid, you know, your next movie isn't There's Something About Mary, then everyone's like, oh, look, it's such a failure. Yeah. When that's not really the reason why you should or shouldn't do anything. But I think there's just so much more scrutiny. And there's probably a lot of politics and just tired of it all.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. And if you've made as much money as she made, if she was even remotely smart with it, then why bother? Sure. You don't have to.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, she ran the race for a long time.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Okay. That's
what other huge really directors cool. have you worked with? I feel like there's
John Turteltaub.
Oh.
Wow.
That's a big one.
Yeah. So he just did The Meg most recently, but he did the pilot and was a producer on Harper's Island. It was the CBS serial killer show.
Oh. Yeah.
That I did like right after Ugly Betty.
It got picked up?
Yeah. We did a full season.
Oh.
Yeah.
Who did you play?
I played Henry Dunn, who was the serial killer.
Oh.
Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen
it. Wow.
But yeah.
That's fun.
Oh, it was great. Yeah. It was great.
That's really cool.
It was about a beautiful young couple who's doing a destination wedding on an island that they spent time on during their childhoods. And so they take all their friends off to this island. And then one by one, the wedding guests start to
Where'd you shoot that? Off. Catalina?
Vancouver.
Catalina.
Vancouver. Right?
Yeah. Of course.
He took the ferry out every day.
I love the Vancouver.
Did he do any other episodes? Just the pilot.
Yeah.
Who How was that experience?
Great. We're still friends too.
It's great. Yeah.
He's a great dude.
That's awesome.
Yeah. In fact, he just emailed me yesterday because when my family, doing a trip back east, we went to Philadelphia to see all the Constitution stuff. And
oh, you did?
Yeah.
Was this after we wrapped it?
No. This was years ago. This was during Covert.
Okay.
But I filmed a National Treasure Junior movie on my phone with like my kids reenacting a scene from National Treasure. And then I downloaded the soundtrack, the score from that and cute. Cut it all together and sent it to John. He just emailed me. He's like, I just was cleaning out files on my computer and found National Treasure Junior. He was like, it still holds up.
That's amazing. You prefer working away then? I'm getting it?
Well, when it comes to the practicalness of like keeping myself physically fit. It's just easier being away to do that. But that's it. Everything else is so much harder and horrible.
I don't know what your contract's like with the decision, but you're allowed to do other things at the same time, yeah?
Well, I'm not allowed to do, it's kind of a typical series regular contract, so you're not allowed to be a series regular on other things, but you can go do movies or you can do like a couple episodes in a show.
Any projects coming up?
No, it was just that movie that was just coming out. That's it right now.
All the press for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's amazing. It sounds to me, Chris, like you have you have an amazing career. You've worked with a lot of really incredible people. You work consistently. You get on these shows that go past the pilot, which is really a big feat in any actor's life. You kind of just go from one thing to the next. So have you ever had a bad audition?
Yes. Oh, for sure.
Seems like you really have it all together.
No.
Please tell me there have been some major pitfalls that we can discuss.
Tell me that you hate your jobs. Go ahead and tell me which ones.
I've been fired from a pilot.
Why?
There's a weird noise. I don't know if anyone can hear it.
It's like a whistle.
It's a whistle. Yeah. I'm pretty sure our dishwasher is about to break.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah. Case. It basically sounds like there's like old bombs from World War II that are about to drop on our house. So, that's just our dishwasher. Don't worry.
So then you need to do your
Yeah, the AC in the car went out. The microwave is also out, and the dishwasher is on its last leg. So
that microwave needed to be changed a long time ago. I told you that. I hate the aesthetic of it.
All right.
And
then thanks so much.
I hate the aesthetic of it with her house.
She's not talking about what it looks like.
No, I hate what it looks. It doesn't go with the whole kitchen. And then so here's what she's gonna do, just so you know, so you can get on board, because she already did this with her washer and dryer. She's going to get it for free because she's going to Instagram it in social media.
Really?
And then they're going to send her the fucking dishwasher.
I think I just have to
buy it. Did that happen with your washer and dryer?
It actually did.
That's amazing.
But honest to God, we moved into this house and I had no money left.
Yeah.
And because it took so long to get this house ready.
It's a really nice house. I believe you.
It was one level when she bought it. Yeah. She just remodeled the whole.
There were so many things that happened that delayed, and I was also paying for a rental. So when we moved in, literally the week after we moved in, the washer and dryer broke, and I was 7.5 months pregnant with a toddler, and I was like, oh my God, I'm about to have a nervous breakdown. So I was like, I'm just going to go to the laundromat, make that my weekly thing. So about after 2 months of going to the laundromat, I was like, I have got to figure this out. Mama needs clean clothes for a new baby that's coming. So I just reached out to a couple companies. I thought, well, what could it hurt?
Yeah.
And I did an amazing thing with Maytag, and I really like our washer and dryer.
That's awesome.
I have to say.
Just in case you need appliances, they do that.
By the way, speaking, this rolls into like just you guys having a podcast. Like some of the press that we did for this movie was with social media influencers.
Yeah.
Right? So we did like this whole event with social media influencers in Phoenix, Arizona. So we're sitting around with like kind of like mom bloggers and like mom food bloggers and mom family bloggers and all this thing.
This is a new whole grouping it's very effective.
And I'm, you know, we're meeting them and they're very nice and I start talking to them and I'm fascinated. Like I just keep asking questions. I'm like, wait a minute. So how does this work? And they're like, oh yeah. So I started on a blog and then we opened up a website and then we have advertising on the website and I just redid my website and I was like, well, what does that cost? It's like, oh, it's $25,000 and my head explodes. I'm like, what?
For a lot of these people, it is a major business. And they make a lot. Let me tell you, it's not just a hobby anymore.
Some of these women is like, yeah, my husband is just, he's retiring from his job, like making prosthetic limbs because we're making more money on our website. Right.
No. Were you ever on Seventh Heaven?
No.
Okay. So Beverly Mitchell, you know that she was on Seventh Heaven. This is how she gets, that's what she does pretty much now. She's blogging and product endorsements.
It's amazing.
And you name it.
It's amazing.
She loves a gift bag.
Getting obsessed with it. What I love about it is just they have total control over what they do and how they do it. And that's,
you know, I'm not super adept at it.
Yeah.
I share my life a little bit. If there's something I really like, there's a product I really like, I enjoy, or I need, and I'm really using in real life, I'm happy to share it. But I'm just not great at there's a fine line for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Some people are really good at it.
No, I get that.
They can make it their whole life.
Like we talked, my wife, Annelle, and I were just talking about it. And I said, we were talking with Mike Chen, he's like a big food YouTuber.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great dude. He was like, oh, you guys should think about doing like a family vlog, like a family YouTube channel. Right. And I was like, yeah, I guess. But then we were talking about it later. It was like, I just don't know that I would want our life to turn into making a production about our life. Like, I guess people are doing it and making a ton of money, but like, I just not.
And that's what the kids are watching, which is so weird to me. I'm going, I don't get it. And like, they're like over animated, like families are like.
Georgia loves that
stuff. It's the weirdest stuff.
I don't let her watch YouTube anymore.
I don't like it.
Because the Russians are apparently infiltrating it, guys.
I don't like it. I ain't liking it.
It's very strange.
Plus, who's to say you're interested? I'm not saying you, but I'm saying, I wouldn't know if I was interesting in my life. You know what I mean? Like, what
would
I
be? I
think I would be totally interesting.
Definitely not. not interesting.
We know you do.
At all.
I mean, I probably would be. I just didn't know the technology. I don't know how to do it. Like, I wouldn't be able to post. I can't work Instagram.
You can't work Instagram.
I don't understand Instagram.
There's no way. You're not getting on YouTube. It's not happening.
I can't. I wouldn't know how to do it.
I couldn't teach you, to be honest.
We did a show together years ago where she was a judge and I was one of the actors on the show called Internet Icon. Internet Icon.
If you guys need a laugh, go on YouTube. You'll be able to find it. It's Internet Icon season
Andy Fickman produced it and directed it.
Lies in some really hilarious sketches.
Yeah, so it's like finding the next YouTube star.
Yeah.
So it's like these kids are like directing and creating their own thing. And
they had this like utility plot, like stable of actors. Right. They could just, you know, hey, will you be in my skit, blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
And I played the resident asshole. Like,
shocking.
I was like, wow. You should have said that with an English accent.
Shocking.
Yeah. They'd pick me, but if they didn't pick me,
you'd get mad.
I would get pissed. Angry.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He got in a fight with one of the kids.
I did.
He was in his 20s. This kid is in his 20s. He's like in a full-on fight. He's like telling him, like, that's not how you should do it. You shouldn't
no,
use
he
shot.
Gave me a line reading, which I just like stopped. I go, what the fuck did you just do? And he's like, what? And I go, oh, dude, you're never going to give me a line reading like that.
It was so ridiculous. But we were both laughing because we were both like, he's like, I don't understand the YouTube. I'm like, I don't understand YouTube.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It is. It's crazy.
It's crazy. And now, like, well, you're on a Netflix show. Like, I'm watching Glow right now, and I'm kind of regretting the streaming thing.
What do you mean?
I like having something to look forward to every week.
See,
if you binge it, then you're done.
I'm freaking out because I'm on episode 8 of 10 on Glow.
Yeah.
And I'm like freaking out.
I watched two last night.
Yeah,
I know.
I'm like going, I don't want it to end. Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, yeah.
I know.
That's what I don't like about the streaming. I like the fact I have something to look forward to every week.
Yeah, that's why I think there was talk when Netflix came out and everyone got on board with streaming that's what all of television was going to go to. But I don't think so because there's plenty of people like us, because I agree with you. Like, I like having a break. I like having something to look forward to.
Oh, right. Oh, remember that last week? Oh, what's going to happen this week?
Yeah, and I think it actually makes the experience better. But some people disagree. Some people really like to binge. I'm just not one of those people.
Wait, let's get back to you getting fired. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
So it was a show called Push. The showrunner was Mark Perry, who went on to do...
Oh, my God, yes.
You know Mark?
I know that
went
name.
Went to do Party of Five.
Yeah, Party of Five.
Yeah. So it was a show about Olympic athletes at a university.
Okay.
And I was playing like a Michael Phelps type character.
I was
playing
a swimmer. I'm telling you, get him on school, swim coach.
I was playing the gay HIV positive swimmer.
Oh, wow.
Who like had no shame and was really upfront about it.
What year is this?
This, I mean, it was probably 98.
Oh, wow.
The year before popular. So it was new. Like it was so, like there were not HIV positive, like gay characters on television at the time.
Yeah.
And there were, when the show aired, there was not an HIV positive gay character on the show because when they let me go, the guy that they put in, I think he still was HIV positive, but was no longer gay. And I got his HIV from a blood transfusion.
Oh, so they just changed the role completely.
Why did they get rid of you in the first place?
Well, I never found out.
We got to find out.
I never found out. But I'll tell you why I think they did. Is because I found this is how old it was. I had the pilot on VHS.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like we were moving. And so we were going through all this stuff and I found it. So then I then had to go find a VHS player.
I was like, yeah, what are you going to
do? So I had to go find one.
I still have one.
Yeah. Put it in. And my first scene came up and it was like, oh, I look like a 10-year-old. That's why I got fired. I got fired because I do not look old enough to be in college. Like just,
I got it.
Like such a baby face, you know? And you know, like you said, like I look like I'm kind of a skinny guy. And back then, like I was just kind of a skinny guy.
Yeah.
Like, I did not have much of a physique.
Who tells you that you're not, like, how does that work?
So how it worked is Mark called me. Mark Perry called me and he said, it was like a good news, bad news conversation. Like the good news is we got picked up. The bad news is you can't come with us. We had to let you go. They're recasting your part.
But at that point, you don't go, why?
I did, but he said he said it was a network decision, and they didn't give me a reason. They just said that we need to recast this part.
Did he give you a job after on anything?
He did. He brought me into Party of Five.
That's what I thought.
Yeah,
well, that's nice.
Yeah,
who'd you play on Party of Five?
I played the gay guy on Party of Five. I played.
That's what he saw. Yeah,
he loves you. As
gay. I was Jennifer Love Hewitt's boyfriend who was secretly in love with Scott Wolf.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah,
I love Jennifer Love Hewitt.
She was a sweetheart.
She's the nicest. I've worked with her a few times. I did Can't Hardly Wait with her. And
then
I did, what was the show that she did? I think it was on WB. I don't remember.
Ghost Whisperer?
No, it was before
CBS.
It was before Ghost Whisperer.
Life as We Know.
No. It was after Party of Five, before Ghost Whisperer. Yeah. I did a couple episodes of that. Yeah. She's nice every time.
Lovely.
She'll never remember me. But my friend, I'm waiting for her to come on the podcast, which Christine's trying to get her.
Oh, yeah.
Because my other friend who's obsessed with her makes this, I think it's a dessert, and it's called Jennifer Love Chewits. So he's going to make them for me to bring to her.
No. Don't do that.
That's
no, I'm doing
what
it.
What kind of
I don't know. He's like, I make these things. He goes, I'm obsessed with Jennifer Love Hewitt. And I go, oh, yeah, she's very sweet. He goes, no, you don't understand. I make these Jennifer Love Chewits. And I go, wow.
I actually think she would find that very funny.
I go, if I get her on the podcast, you're making them for me.
I hope they're caramely.
Yeah.
I'm not a big caramel person.
That's where my brain went.
Okay. But it sounds like something like a Charleston Chew, like some nougaty caramely.
Anyway, they're Jennifer Love Chewits. I thought it was genius.
That's really funny.
So funny.
So you did Party one or two episodes?
I probably did a full arc. It was a full arc. Yeah, I
did.
I don't remember how many. Maybe four.
It's just constantly.
Dude,
working,
you're constantly
everyone.
Working.
It's been
what's the longest period that you've gone without working?
Well, you know what? Really, it was between Covert Affairs and Insatiable, because it was like I went 2 years without doing a pilot, which was the longest that it had ever been. And it was kind of, I think, kind of where I switched over from being like the 30s leading man to being the 40s dad,
mm-hmm.
right? Because that's what it was. It was like 30s leading man in Covert Affairs. I was a spy. And now I'm, you know, the dad to a 17-year-old.
Yeah.
On the show. And I think I just needed a couple of years to kind of be out. Mm-hmm. So that people could forget and kind of reclassify me in their heads.
The thing that like works so well, and I mean this as a complete compliment, is that you, I feel like the way you look, you can be many different things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You look like you could be a dad. You also look like, I mean, you're just very versatile.
Yeah.
And I think it's because you're not overly striking in one direction.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You just have this like, every man, I could see you as my next door neighbor. I could see you as a serial killer. No offense. I could see, you know what I mean?
I could totally see you as a serial killer. I think what she's trying to say is you're just ordinary.
Listen.
But in a special way. Does that make sense?
No. You should have said it with an English accent.
Very ordinary. But it's lovely. No, that's the, honestly, it's like, I feel like sometimes people that work all the time, like who are in your position, who work all the time, they have that kind of, you would know them, but you don't know why you know them. You know what I mean? Like you said, you can go to the grocery store, yet you were just on a TV show and somebody looks at you and they're like, I feel like I know that guy.
Yeah.
No, probably not. And walks away, you know?
Yeah.
It's nice. Have you ever, you don't have to name names, but have you ever been on a set or done a job with someone that was really difficult, that made it feel like work? Actor or director?
I tell you, I haven't had any like real horror stories with people like that. Like I've heard horror stories, and the sad thing for me is when you see, particularly you see it in episodic directors who've been scarred by really difficult cast on a show, who come in and there is that AT&T?
Is that AT&T? Okay. Oh my God.
Like, so you get directors who just look like, just come in and look like we just
beaten down,
whipped dogs. You know, like they just,
have nothing left and are terrified of everyone and just kind of come in and are like, whatever you want to do, I don't know, just please stop, please don't hit me.
Oh God.
Right? Like I'm sure you've seen it.
Yeah.
But for the most part,
you have to have a pretty thick skin, I think, as a director. I think
particularly
really,
episodic. Yeah.
Yeah. You walk into a cast that's very well sort of oiled, machine that's really well oiled. You walk in as the new person in school. You kind of have to come in with your plan, and if someone doesn't like it or throws attitude your way or whatever, you have to just let it roll off your back and continue. Because if you let it, I mean, I've been yelled at by actors a couple times.
Yeah.
But I never took it personally because I knew it wasn't really about me.
Yeah, totally.
It does make you feel a little like,
of
oh, wow,
course, no one
just,
likes
like,
to get
threw a tomato in my face in front of the entire crew. Okay.
Yeah.
But you have to just kind of go back to your seat and take a minute and then continue on with a great attitude. Otherwise, if you show people that it hurt you, you lose all your power in the situation.
Exactly right. So I haven't had any really terrible experiences on set. Thank goodness. We had, like, the closest thing you can get was I did a sitcom called Out of Practice. It was another CBS show. It was me and Ty Burrell, Henry Winkler, Stockard Channing.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Paula Marshall and Jennifer Tilly.
Jesus.
It was awesome. Like, we did a whole season of it. It was Chris Lloyd and Joe Keenan had just come off of Frasier.
Wow.
It was at multicam?
Yeah. Yeah. It was the best job I've ever had.
With, like, live audience?
Yeah.
I don't remember this.
How did that not go?
I don't
understand.
It went, and then it was amazing. It was unfortunate. We came out, the show premiered, and premiered fine, but didn't premiere like crazy hit. And then like just four, we went up, the ratings went up every week, but just by a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was 4 or 6 weeks in, CBS announced that they were going to replace us with the Jenna Elfman show.
And which failed.
And meanwhile, our last episode that aired in our regular time slot, the week before they pulled us, we were the number 4 show in the country.
So weird.
And then we were gone. But anyway, it was a great show. But like the closest I could get to like having like a difficult experience, which wasn't difficult, was Stockard.
Go ahead.
No, who I love, but like has a process. And like, you know, like we would go through blocking and then... And then she would work with the director on her stuff. And so Ty and I would just like go outside and throw the football around and until they were done. And then we'd come back in and
then everything
carry
would
on
be
with
changed.
Rehearsal. And carry. Sometimes, yeah. but not usually because it wasn't.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. But it was because, but here's the thing is like everyone has their different process. And for her, like she needed to walk through it and needed to like really know what the justification is for each thing. And it's, you know, it's works for her and she's a fucking genius, you know?
She's amazing.
Like, you know, we do the scene and it's just, you know, it would blow you away. She's amazing. So it wasn't something that bothered us. It was just something like, oh, we're going to go toss
and
the skin around.
With a high caliber amount of actors like Henry Winkler and Stockard Channing and stuff, what'd you guys do? 3 days on that set?
Or? No, it was 5 days.
They did a full 5 days.
Yeah, yeah.
I would think they would be phoning it in the sense of like they're not showing up to.
No. Like not
every day.
Nobody in that cast was like that. We were all like show up and rehearse and do it and work.
Have you done a Modern Family?
No.
Oh, so you haven't worked together again.
I know, no. But Ty and I are still friends.
He's so good.
Yeah, he's the best.
Really, one of the nicest.
Yep, great dude.
Again, like you do nine seasons, 12 seasons of a show.
Yeah.
And I came on as a guest star, you know, and my scenes were with him and Julie and Keegan-Michael Key.
Yeah.
And like the nicest people.
Yeah.
I mean, so just lovely, warm, sitting in the same area as all the lowly guest stars.
Yeah.
You know. Eating the same snacks, saying, do you guys want to rehearse? Do you want to just run through the lines? I was like, oh, yeah, that'd be great. I mean, just, I don't know. I had a great experience on that show.
Yeah.
Have there been any moments as you've been trying to balance your work life with your home life and you had young kids, especially when they were really young?
Yep.
Like any moments that I know for me, you know, there have been those nights where I have to get up at 4 a.m. and it happens to be the night that like my kid starts teething and you're literally up. You've gotten like 2 hours of sleep and have to go to work. Have there been any of those moments of like, oh God, You know, it's so, because what we do is so weird and the hours are so long.
Well, it's so weird. I mean, really the biggest challenge for me, because most of, like half of the shows that I've been on have been out of LA, like either in Canada or Atlanta or somewhere else. So the biggest challenge for me has just been, has been the relationship strain of, you know, being away and leaving Anel with the kids, you know, three times pregnant, right?
Yes. Ooh.
Did you make all the births?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I did.
That's good. That's lucky.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. You know, and then, you know, and she was home to deal with it all. You know, she was there when the sewer backs up, you know, and, you know, I'm in Vancouver and she's there when, you know, when the house has to be replumbed. And
we should really have her on.
You really,
I know.
Yeah. Horror stories.
I want to hear you.
Yeah. Like it's, like she's done all of the heavy lifting with that, and having to do it alone is really challenging.
Yes.
And then having the, you know, I'm sure you know, like the reentry after being away, is rough. It's like figuring out how everything's going to work again and what, you know, who's doing what and who's taking the kids to school and who's doing breakfast.
No, I know, because I had texted him about coming on the podcast and he's like, it'd be best if I could do it once school starts because I'm playing stay-at-home dad right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you got to take over when you can.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
And so, and that, like the relationship strain is real.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's funny. People joke about, you know, the divorce rate in Hollywood, right? Which really isn't much higher than the divorce rate nationally. But they joke about it because it's fun to joke about, like, famous people breaking up. And everyone assumes that everyone's sleeping with
Miley
everybody.
The Miley Cyrus Liam is killing me.
Yes. but the truth is it's like, it's just really, it's really hard on relationships. Like what we do is just really hard on relationships. It's a lot of hours. It's a lot of travel.
Yeah. You're constantly in a long distance relationship that you don't know is coming.
Yes. And
is there resentment at all in the relationship in the sense of,
well, sometimes, sure.
I mean, does she... Is she acting at all, or is she?
No, not anymore.
Not anymore.
So she was acting and working, and then we decided to have our first one young because we wanted to have a young family. And then after we had Lucas, then she went back to auditioning and started working again. And then we got pregnant again, and so she kind of had to step back and wait until, you know, Ethan got old enough, and then she could get back to start auditioning again. But, you know, each time, particularly for a woman, each time she's a little older, we were living like 45 miles outside of LA at the time. And so it's a long drive.
Get away from very small children.
And she's Latina. And particularly back in the 90s and the early aughts, like it's the parts for her were always the maid, the gang member's girlfriend. You know, all of these stuff, all of the things which, if like Google my wife, like she's none of those things. Like she's like super glamorous, like beautiful, and like the furthest thing from, you know, some chola, which is what she was being asked to portray.
Right.
Like even on Popular, she recurred on Popular. She was one of the cheerleaders. She played Pulpita Fresh.
Oh. I mean, I'm not laughing, but I'm laughing.
Right? But then we,
Pulpita.
But she was pregnant during the second season, and Ryan was begging her, like wanted to write this whole arc about her character being pregnant, and Anel just refused to do it. She was, and would explain it to him, and he just was, he had the hardest time with, he hates being told no, but like was having a hard time with it, and she just kept trying to explain it to him, like, Ryan, like, I'm the only Latina character on the WB.
Right.
Yeah, don't
like,
make
I'm
me the,
it. There are no other Latina characters on the entire network.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to be the stereotype. Like,
good for her.
Yeah. Good
it's
for
hard
her.
To stand up to someone like that.
Yes, it is. And, you know, and it's like, and it's funny. We were talking to someone that, you know, because we're both fairly politically active and you know, someone was kind of reinforcing to her, like, it's those little, moments of strength, right? That don't get talked about and don't get publicity and aren't like, you know, big, but that add up to big societal change, that add up to representation being changed.
Well, I bet he gets it now.
Yeah.
Especially with the kind of TV that he's writing.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's pretty influential with the stuff that he's doing.
It has changed a ton.
Yeah.
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 So
does she want to go back to it at all?
You know,
does she have any desire?
She does. It's been, you know, then what happened was, is our oldest was then diagnosed with autism.
Okay.
And then we had a third and we had our daughter, and after the daughter in particular, it was just like, okay, well now just someone has to be home.
Yeah.
And it had to be her. So
plus you guys do a lot of charitable stuff too. Like you have a charity.
Yeah.
And the whole bit.
Well, now it's like we've come through a lot of that now. And now we're reaching a point where, both of the boys are in high school. Our daughter's in fifth grade. Things are kind of stabilizing. That now she is looking for what it's going to be. And, you know, maybe she goes back to acting, but she may do something else.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But that she's got, you know, all of the creativity, this is still there. All of that passion is still there.
Sure.
She's so talented and smart and funny. And so it's kind of, she's starting that journey of like finding what it's going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's amazing. Well, Chris, I mean,
give me a break.
God. Just turn on your television. I'm going to see you on every rerun. Now I'm going to turn on the TV and I'm just going to see you like on Party of Five. There's going to be old Covert Affairs happening.
That's all right.
Once Upon a Time.
Right.
Which I'm dying to see that because I'm trying to picture
what did you look like as the Wizard of Oz?
It was just
were you green.
It was just me with like a
green
thing. No, it was just like a green costume. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, no. That's cool.
It was
you
cool.
Have an accent?
No. Huh. I know. No.
What the hell?
I didn't. it's not as exciting as it sounds. It really isn't. But you know what you should go see? You should see the movie that I directed. It's called We Love You, Sally Carmichael.
Okay.
It's a sweet little indie family friendly comedy.
Who's in it?
But as a fellow director.
Yes, I would love to see it.
Yeah, you should check it out. I'm in it. Bitsy Tulloch, Jack McBrayer. Sebastian Roche.
Okay.
Yeah. And then some like cast up in Utah. We shot it in Utah.
Oh my God. Yeah, I
love
Utah.
The Utah.
They'll give you a deal anywhere in Utah, won't they? You're coming? Sure.
Want to fill out our house? Want to stay at our house?
Yeah.
It was great. Well, they do a lot of production up there, so they have good crews.
It's funny because sometimes if I'm flying to the East Coast, you know, I'll do Delta, and Salt Lake's one of the hubs for Delta. It's so weird. I like mileage.
They're building a brand new terminal.
Sometimes I'll have a layover in Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
And I'm not exaggerating. I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone. As soon as I get off the plane, it's like slow motion. I'm like everyone's looking at me like I'm crazy and I'm going, where the hell am I? I freak out a little bit in the Salt Lake City.
Yeah, I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the most diverse place.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, it's there is some diversity there, but it's mostly coming for the church. There's a lot of Polynesian. There's a Polynesian, there's a population there. Yeah,
I did not know that.
Yeah,
Polynesian Mormons.
Yeah,
interesting.
Yeah.
I'm watching Love After Lockup.
Oh my God!
And one of the women, she's African American, and her inmate that she fell in love with and got married to is also African American, but he's from LA and she's from Salt Lake City and she's a Mormon.
Yeah.
And she's right now in the episode that we're on right now. She steals she brings him to Salt Lake City because she wants him to move so he have a clean living and that Salt Lake City life.
Yeah.
And Mormon life with the church. And he's like, no,
he's not into it.
He's not into it. So she steals his wallet and his license so he can't get back to LA.
What?
Oh, it's a whole thing. Love After Lockup. You got to watch
it. Okay. I don't think you should. Rob's just shaking his head.
It's so good, dude. Wee TV. Love After Lockup.
I'm not really sure if that's really his fair. I'm not really think that he's really going. He's going to find something else. Maybe.
I bet you'll like it.
No, it's actually a lot of
they meet on like inmatelove.com and stuff, and then they so they find the cast based on how much time is left on their sentence, and because they're about to get released, and they meet their partner for
the first time. Do we really have to talk about this show every time we're on a podcast?
Every time.
Sorry, I love it.
It's like a bit much.
And 90 Day Fiancé. I don't know if you like that show, but it's on TLC. And I also watch.
Stop it.
Okay,
it's all right. No, I'm fasting on all television until Insatiable premieres again.
Correct. And which
good for you.
If it's premiering this month, then we'll announce it. If we don't
start watching Insatiable, everyone.
If you haven't watched season one, please watch season
binge
one
it
because
now.
Yeah, you really should know what you're getting into.
Yeah, it's you're in for a ride.
Yeah.
Don't let the
And I do tell people, like, by the way, like when I'm in Utah, I'm like, what else are you on? I was like, listen, it's insatiable. It's on Netflix, but it's crazy. Like, it's really crazy fun. And
you're
like,
gonna see a lot of my nipples.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
you are. But it's the kind of thing, like, you'll know by the end of the first episode if it's your cup of tea or not.
Yes.
I say by the second episode.
Yeah? All right.
Yeah, because I never judge a show by the first episode because it's the introduction of everything, so it's a little slower. Yeah. But I would never have watched it had I not known you guys.
Yeah.
But I'm so glad that I do because I'm obsessed with the show. Yeah. I think it's hilarious.
Can't wait to see what season 2 is going to have in
store. It's crazy.
Okay, so Chris, tell us again the name of your film.
Oh, the film's called We Love You, Sally Carmichael.
And where can we find it?
And you find it on Amazon.
Oh, yeah. Amazon Prime?
Yeah.
I have the Amazon.
Oh, yes.
This is so exciting. And then tell us, where can we find you? Do you do any social media?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram and Twitter mostly at Chris Gorham. And then I also have a Facebook fan page. I think it's Chris Gorham fan page.
Great.
I don't know. I hate Facebook. So
I don't understand it.
It feels like fake friendships and fake relationships.
Well, it's not only that, but like
so
people,
weird. It's weirdly.
People send me, they're like, oh, I invited you to my thing. I go, you did? And they're like, on Facebook. I go, I don't know how to find that. I'm like, just text me.
Would it be weird if I went back to MySpace? Can we start making MySpace a thing?
Is it still exists? Like, yeah,
I don't know. Let's look it up.
Don't do that. Sorry, I'm just watching Rob. Like,
is it just a place for predators now?
What? I don't think it's a place for anything.
But does it exist?
It exists. It's like a graveyard.
Who's on it?
Nobody. It's a weird digital graveyard.
I think we should make it cool again.
Yeah. I'm ready.
But if you want to start a YouTube channel, I really would highly encourage you to just do the podcast, but just have a little window of Rob reacting
just
to the
Rob
podcast.
Like, just Rob's
that's the YouTube channel.
Picture in picture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, just.
Why? What does he do?
It's just. It's great.
I smile.
Like,
I
he makes
I
little
nod.
Faces. Like, it's really. Huh. He reacts in real time. Yeah.
He's trying to steal the show.
It's basically just a blank screen with a little
Rob
picture.
Talk
picture
too much on the last episode, so I'm not this. Usually, we go to
you
Rob.
You don't let anyone talk.
You just shut up for a second.
Now the baby's crying. See what you've done.
We usually use Rob for like facts to Google facts and find out, you know, when we have a guest or whatever. And I've been avoiding it because last episode he was like he was like your co-star. I was like, what the fuck.
Oh, welcome to Worst of the Podcast.
Right, so we can find you at Chris Gorham.
Yes.
All right, I'm Christine Lakin. And you can find me at Yo Lakin.
Yeah, and I'm at Alec Led, don't ask, on all social.
Hey, I'm at Para on Twitter and at Para.jpg.
He's still looking for...
I'm trying to get at Para on Instagram.
But it's impossible.
Yeah, there's somebody squatting it.
It's not
they
gonna
have
happen.
No followers.
No offense, but it's not going to happen.
Man, but if we get all our listeners to start harassing this person...
You have Para at JP...
Para at... just at Para on Instagram.
What is it?
Just P-E-R-A.
But, okay. Can you just give it to him? Because I can't hear this again. It's really every week.
Thank you, Chris,
we love
for
you,
coming in.
Pathetic.
We love
Thanks,
you,
guys.
But it's sad. Thank you so much, Chris, for
my
coming.
Pleasure.
You can find us at Worst Ever Podcast and Worst Ever PC on Twitter.
You can buy merch at worsteverpodcast.com.
And you can email us at worsteverpodcast@gmail.com. Please let me know if you like my English accent and if I should continue it.
Trust me.
Fine. Rude. Rude.
Wait,
hear you
Rob,
next
what
week.
Is your Instagram?
@para.jpg.
It's very difficult. Very difficult.